What's up, fight fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, February 26, 2024, and this week's episode, Bellator and the Big Problema. We'll talk about the PFL versus Bellator pay-per-view. We'll talk about UFC Mexico and everything, the fights in the cage, the fights in the stands, and everything else. And we'll cap it off by talking about this coming Saturday's UFC Fight Night, UFC Vegas 87, and the heavyweights in action, Jairzinho Rozenstruik taking on Shamil Gaziev. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Double G, what's going on? We've got no more rain. We don't have sun either, but happy to talk to you. How was your weekend? Busy as usual?
Oh, you have no idea, let me tell you right now. To be honest, on the weather, yesterday, first day in California, we've been going through just the rainy season, and I would say yesterday was the first day that it felt like spring. The sun was out, the birds were
Yeah.
chirping, and then I woke up in this morning and it was all over.
Yeah,
And
it's over. Just gone.
yeah, it's warming up though, so it's a good time. It is, we're officially, getting to that end of winter, and it lets you know that the, life keeps moving, right?
That's right.
You know what else got moving? The respect for the Bellator roster. Let me tell you. So obviously, look, two for one. Well, let me rephrase that. Two fights, one night. Certainly, they were on different platforms for everything. But in the morning from Saudi Arabia, the PFL versus Bellator pay-per-view. And I mean, we'll talk about the main event, but then I think we've really got to just acknowledge the overall, just off the bat, Bellator's performance as a whole on the main card, absolutely fantastic. I think they were, as much as we're about to talk about Henan Ferreira, Bellator was the big winner. I'm going to get into that, but let's just start with this one. 30 seconds. Henan Ferreira taking on Ryan Bader. I'm going to just recap it very easily. I am 99.9% sure Ryan was trying to put pressure on Henan to open up the wrestling. Instead, he never got time to do everything. Ryan Bader, I'm not going to lie. This is probably a case of could have, would have, should have. In hindsight, he probably wishes, stay on the outside, chin down, look for the double. Instead, he comes out standing very tall, and Henan Ferreira just ate that up all day. Just uses his range, uses his speed, uses his size, 30 pounds heavier, obviously a lot taller, and just cracks Ryan on the chin over the top of the guard, drops Ryan Bader. That's all she wrote. 30-second victory. What are your thoughts?
Man, Ryan Bader is not the biggest heavyweight, but did he? I mean, I don't know. Most heavyweights, I think, would look small against Henan Fajardo because that man is just a scary beast. I was surprised though because Bader does usually play a little more, a little smarter. This one kind of reminded me of that fight against Rumble Johnson back in the day, where he like went in for a takedown without setting it up, and that was all she wrote. Now, as you pointed out, he didn't even get a chance to go in for a takedown, but it did seem like he was not focused enough on staying at a safe distance, and that was all she wrote. So it's a big bummer for him because he's been the star of Bellator heavyweight division, lightweight division, just been making, being at the top basically since he arrived to Bellator. So the moment when you want to, put your, make your mark at the new promotion with the new boss and doesn't quite go your way. Ryan Bader's still Ryan Bader, so he's gonna have a career there. Is he gonna go into the tournament or just try and do these, super fights, whatever I guess he wants or PFL wants? But it was tough to see him just get owned that fast. It's like I'm not comparing him to Fedor as far as status, legendary status, but it's like when he fought Fedor the first time, and Fedor didn't even get a chance, man. There was nothing. He just got knocked out. And so it's hard to see Ryan Bader not even get a chance, but it is what it is.
Look, so let's address the Francis Ngannou in the room. or I guess cage side in this case, very literally. PFL announces it, I believe it was Thursday morning, that the plan is for Ngannou to make his debut against the winner. Obviously, that is now Ferreira. And I think that, it should have, it was always the plan. It's not a surprise in any way that this would be what they, quote, want. That being said, there's a few things, a few hurdles now we need to address. The Anthony Joshua of it all in about 2 weeks. Francis could catch Anthony, and quite bluntly, there is nothing, put it this way, even the powers that be in Saudi absolutely would probably want Ngannou to box Fury again, or Alexander Usyk, who I believe they're rescheduled for June. So that's something you got to address. Should Ngannou lose, and I will, you know, concede that most pundits do expect Anthony Joshua to get this done.
Okay.
That really does open the door back up. I think that that would be the scenario that does set Ngannou up to fight MMA again. I do think, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, would he do it? Would he come back? Does he want to? Should he come back anyway with all the opportunities and money to be made in boxing? My heart tells me that of all the fights that Ngannou could have, if he were to lose to Joshua, the PFL fight would actually be one of the more, anticipated and desired fights for Ngannou. Never lost the UFC heavyweight title, the ability to throw kicks, the ability to wrestle, which he does have. Remember the fight with Ciryl Gane?
Yeah.
But, you know, so I do think that there is one more fight in MMA, at least, for Francis if he loses to Joshua. But once again, if he catches Anthony Joshua, I mean, you could easily milk that for another two fights, if we're being honest. So there's a lot of ifs and a lot of conditions, but I do think that, you know, from where I stand, it's very likely we do see Francis Ngannou late this year, I believe, in MMA. What about you?
I think so, too. And, you know, if he loses to Joshua, it's going to put a, you know, a damper on the hype and everything. But he's still Francis Ngannou, and he's still done the, you know, what got him the fight with Fury was everything he'd done in the cage.
Yeah.
And so he can still do that. Now, it's been a while, so there will be questions, of course, ring rust and all that, but he's still the man in the cage. That spot has not been taken from him yet. So even a loss to Joshua gets him that matchup with Hennen, I believe. And otherwise, what's the point of having Francis Ngannou there if you're not going to put him up against the guy that beat all the, you know, that just won the promotion Bellator, PFL versus Bellator champion super fight thingamajigger.
Yep.
So that's the thing for him. Now, if he does beat Joshua, there's a lot more money in staying in the boxing world. But I believe him. He's a man of his word. He made he made a deal. And part of being able to secure that Tyson Fury fight had to do, I believe, with his already secured relationship with PFL. So you got to dance with the one that brung you. That's MMA. I will be expecting Francis Ngannou in the cage, whether he wins or loses against Anthony Joshua.
Very fair. I do like that. Like we had talked about, I feel like if you go back to around this time last year, the Tyson Fury fight wasn't on the table. The fight was Fury Usyk. Mm-hmm. And Francis Ngannou wasn't in the conversation. Things fell out. Things fell through. Suddenly, Francis got the opportunity again. But to be clear, he was not the front runner this time last year for that right. fight with Tyson.
Yeah.
Things worked out better for him than anyone could have ever imagined, changed his life, etc. Again, by the way, changed his life again. He's done it himself before in MMA. So I do think that, you know, he is aware that, like you said, the PFL opportunity, he won the game and secured the bag when he signed with PFL and they had all those conditions.
Yeah.
And then the universe kind of gave him an even bigger bag. I don't want to say unexpectedly, but certainly, you know, the money was not on the odds of that bag falling into his lap, but it did, and he ran with it. So I do think there is a little bit there that, like, hey, you know, one more time in the cage. And then, look, like I said, it really depends on what happens in 2 weeks. But right now, you know, a lot of people are leaning toward at least one more for Francis if he loses in MMA. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. By the way, Ryan Bader, can I ask you, do you think he sticks around? Do you think he fights Linton Vassell or someone else like that before hanging it up?
That's
At
a good
40 years old, by
question.
the way.
Is 40, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. I just sort of assumed he would have to make a choice about how he wanted to fight in MMA, like which side of PFL he wanted to do. But yeah, you're right. At this point, having accomplished all that he has in Bellator, and in some ways, it being so fast, it's one of those things that you can say, well, you know, it just was a lucky shot. He just caught me.
Kind of like Volk.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt your ego too much because it wasn't like you guys went through a war and you couldn't muster up, you know, enough to beat him. This was like, well, I made a mistake. He caught me, bada bing, bada boom. So I could see him retiring. That might be a smart move because it's not going to get any easier. Younger guys, and it's yeah. You know what? Now I'm realizing that he might just hang it up, unless he like. Because what's the fastest? The only reason to stay would be if he could see a clear and quick path to a championship fight. He just had it. It was extremely fast, and there's a bigger fish already waiting to take the to fight Hennen, right? Obviously, Francis Ngannou. So where does that put Ryan Bader in line? Probably further back than he'd like. And then is it worth it to have to climb your way up to the top to get another title shot, just so you can say, "All right, now I'm." At that point, would it be you're a PFL champ? Would it still be the hybrid PFL Bellator? Like, there is confusion, I guess, from my perspective on what fighter is Ryan Bader. Like, is
So he's
he?
a Bellator. The Bellator brand is separate. Only a handful of Bellator fighters are getting brought over into the regular season. When they have a pay-per-view later this year, it is widely expected that there will be several of the Bellator fighters on it, the Johnny Eblens, Vadims, and others. But the thing about the Bellator Champion Series, that's why we're seeing Corey Anderson. That's why we were gonna see Liam McCourt, who unfortunately got injured and is out of the fight, with Bellator, is because it is a separate brand that is gonna run and sell tickets and has
Yeah.
to get viewership on the broadcast. So they could not gut all of the pieces, all the key pieces out of Bellator to bring them to PFL immediately, because you're still putting on Bellator shows. Ryan Bader, I believe, at least right now, he remains Bellator champion.
Right. Yeah.
So there is no unification of the title. It's literally a one-off fight. And Ryan is still heavyweight champion. He would most likely fight in the champion series or wait until December for the PFL pay-per-view potentially. But he would not be part of the regular season in PFL. That's not their plan for a
Yeah.
lot of these guys and girls.
Thank you. I was getting myself mixed up over here. So yeah, of course, he's still Bellator champion. So
Vassell is also a vet, and so I could see that if it's just like, hey, give it one more, you got a contract, make some money, set yourself up. But once again, I acknowledge that there was really not much left for Ryan at this juncture going into this. The opportunity came. Sometimes these things happen. That's how the cookie crumbles, as they say. If he wants one more against a vet like Vassell, he should have it, in my opinion. If not, I acknowledge, look, so he just lost to Hennen. Vadim Nemkov looked fantastic now at heavyweight, already obviously lost to Vadim. You kind of got to ask questions about what are you still in it for? He's had an amazing career. He's been one of the, I would argue, he is still the best example of what could your career be in free agency. He was a ranked UFC light heavyweight. He was headlining cards, was probably still going to get some Fight Night main events and big fights down the line. Leaves for Bellator, and look what it became. Two division champion, won the Grand Prix, beat Fedor, defended the title. got to be one of these guys, got this huge opportunity with PFL. I mean, you can make the argument that, you know, best thing that ever happened. Would he have liked to win the UFC title? Of course, everybody would have. But if you ask him today, do you ever think about should you have stayed? Would you have stayed? I bet you he'd tell you, like, I mean, look at everything I got out of it. You know, you could argue it was a lot better at the time. Think about it. Rumble, Glover. He was kind of being used to propel some other guys forward. I don't know that the UFC saw him as that guy they were trying to get to the title shot at the time. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah, definitely not. And then when he got to PFL and then it was just like, he all of a sudden one day he has three belts, you know, wrapped around him for the tournament, the two champ, you know, it's like, whoa, my goodness, Ryan Bader, look at you.
Yeah, things worked out, you know, things worked out the way they were supposed to. I'm sure he doesn't, you know, lament anything. Like I said, would he have liked to win the belt? Who wouldn't? I mean, let's be real, but life turned out great for him, so yeah. I think that he deserves one more if he wants it. If he decides it's a day, I mean, he's been around since Ultimate Fighter, I think in 08 was his season. Absolutely fantastic for him, and he deserves whatever he wants to do. Great ambassador, too. Spoken to him a bunch of times. Never been anything except a considerate pro. No, you will never hear any Ryan Bader slander over here. This is a good dude and ran away with it and just a nice guy. Yeah. Let's talk about the co-main event. I would argue the best fight on the card. I think a lot of people agree. Johnny Eblen taking on Impa Kasanganai at middleweight. So remember, Impa won his title last year at 205, one weight class up, 20 pounds heavier. And this was really a scrap if you caught it. If not, find a replay somewhere if they put it out there on ESPN. But the fact is, Impa, better success on the feet. Johnny, not getting obliterated. And the wrestling really is what bailed him out. Getting Impa down, burning the clock. He got back control a few times. He landed a couple solid shots on the feet of his own. Second round, Impa Kasanganai really starts to run away with it on the feet. I think that Johnny was really struggling just to figure out the speed and timing of Impa. Impa making those adjustments to have more success overall in the 5 minutes. And then the third, starts well for Impa. Johnny kind of takes it over with a ground control. Not too much devastating damage, but he does, you know, he is winning the time, so to speak. I thought they were going to give it to Impa by a little bit. They give it to Johnny. I'm not mad at it. It was a close competitive fight. I think the full credit, had Impa won, it would have been huge. You win this title, and then the fact that he took Johnny Eblen on at Johnny's optimal weight, I thought was a huge gangster move by Impa. As PFL champ, you could have easily told Johnny to move up. I respect that he took on Johnny at 85. Johnny Eblen, though, with a huge win, a big feather in his cap. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, it was a good fight. I mean, there was lots of moments there where Impa was knocked him down in round, I think, two. They were going to war, man. It was actually multiple knockdowns. So it was a really good showing for both fighters. And, you know, it went to Eblen, but I kind of could have seen it go the other way. So
I agree. When I watched that, I was like, Impa got this done.
Yeah, man. I'm like, that was cool. Good for him. I mean, he's charging forward, throwing hooks, dropping Eblen multiple times in at least round two. I can't remember round one, but just like that's got to count for more than he got credit for. I guess I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at Eblen's run. I mean, obviously stops the second reign of Gegard Mousasi, takes on Tokov, takes on Fabian Edwards, takes on vet John Salter, still undefeated, 14-0. No one's gotten the dub over Johnny Eblen yet in his career. You see him, he's worked with guys like Sean Strickland. Strickland brings him in to help with the fight with Dricus du Plessis in UFC. I mean, he was easily one of the big winners. I would argue that this trio of him, Nemkov, AJ McKee, and look, you can make an argument for the other winners, but those three, I felt just like with their age and the way they're performing, I don't know where they're at with their Bellator PFL contracts. I will tell you right now that if they hit free agency in 25, UFC has to be in contention to sign them. I can't imagine them not getting a deal if they continue performing the way they have. And right now, I would say, you know, Johnny, with respect to Patricio Pitbull, I would argue that right now of the Bellator brand, Johnny is the best fighter to have never fought in UFC right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in Bellator.
That makes sense.
Just with his age, just the way he's going. Patricio Pitbull, respectfully, you know, a little more experience, a little more miles on the tires, miles on the car, things like that. Tread on the tires, you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny is kind of at that nicer side, age-wise and experience, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you, man.
And look, he'll definitely get a big fight. I expect that if he wants to stay active, they might give him something in the summer. If not, they'll give him a big fight at the pay-per-view with Ngannou and Jake Paul and all that later this year. Impa, I didn't hear from him. It's very possible that he tries to turn it around in the regular season or something like that, so I'm looking forward to that. I think that he's a guy with a lot of upside, and I don't want to wait until December to see him. I hope they find something for him, if not regular season. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I think so. Move fast, because he looked really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to just kind of breeze through these. That way we could get to a couple of the other things at UFC. But finish for Jason Jackson. Absolutely chews up and pretty much spits out the front leg of Ray Cooper for the second round finish. Vadim Nemkov just outmaneuvers Bruno Capoulosa, gets the arm triangle, second round submission, makes it look easy. AJ McKee, opening minute, just locks in the submission on Clay Collard, last year's finalist. Aaron Pico just, let's just say like it is, destroys 6-day notice Henry Corrales.
Yeah.
I appreciate that Henry stepped up, took the flight, but you're telling me that all that happened? On Sunday, he accepted a fight that required almost 20 hours in the air.
Yeah.
Just to get to Saudi. I mean, Pico got to stay on the card. Both, I'm assuming, got paid. But yeah, that was just what it is. Pico was getting ready to fight a top-level guy. Henry, you could tell, not in the shape he probably should have been for a
not
fight.
Not in shape. Yeah. It's too bad because, you know, now this is being framed as Pico gets revenge. But is it? You know, because it wasn't on equal footing. But again, look, Henry, I like him a lot, man. He's a super cool dude, and he stepped up the flight, of course, as you say that. I mean, even if you're not gonna go fight anybody, that long flight is gonna drain you. So now you got to deal with the flight. You got to deal with preparing mentally for this fight in a totally different country, time zone, weather, you know. And you just kind of got to say, you know, F it. I'm just going to go and do what I can do. Didn't have enough juice, but I don't totally see it as now we're even from, you know, when they fought in Bellator. That was a heck of a fight. But okay, maybe a third one would be fun. A rubber match. Let's see.
I mean, I would argue you look at the age now. I mean, Pico's still on the good side of 30. Henry, I believe, is 37. They're at different places in their careers, if I'm being honest.
You're right. And, 37 is...
A lot of miles, too, for everybody. I mean, the fight was in 2019. It's 2024 now.
Yeah,
so it's been a lot. The big winners of the night... by the way, real quick, Jason Jackson calling out Cedric Doumbé. Love it. I think a smart move that works on a good schedule.
Yeah.
Very smart by Jason Jackson. I think that this run for him... He's kind of right there with Johnny Eblen, just the run he's been on, Neiman Gracie, obviously, Yaroslav Amosov, who was on a great run in Bellator in the final event to end it, and now this one on Ray Cooper, fantastic, AJ McKee, people, y'all know I love him.
Yeah, man, that was a great win.
Yes, the way he did it, style points.
And go ahead. Clay Collard just looked... Just pissed. He's like, shoot.
He got caught. Yeah, he realized, man. Like, really, I got, like, all this way and you just get stuck.
Yep.
But, hey, credit to AJ. Once again, that's how the cookie crumbles. On the feet, probably would have been really fun. Yeah. Didn't get there, is what it is. You know, so Natalie, I want to say it like this. Last October, I hate to say it, but we essentially were given the Bellator eulogy. Mm-hmm. 300. I remember what I was saying. It was like, we're celebrating 10 years of business, but there's a going out of sale sign over the door. What happened? They get merged and the end of the brand as we speak. I'm going to tell you something funny. Saturday, arguably one of the top three nights in Bellator history. I know what it sounds weird because technically they're not even Bellator, just in name only. The fact that they went 5-0 on Ryzen against the Ryzen champs. Mm-hmm. The fact that they went 5-1 against the PFL. I'm sorry, but how freaking amazing does the, you know, Rich and Scott Coker, everyone who built that roster, how amazing do they feel seeing this right now? And look, I mean, let's say like it is, you know, the fact is they didn't make it. Now they're acquired by PFL. This was nothing to do with the fighters.
Right.
And that has to be the most gratifying thing, at least on that side, for everyone involved. The fighters, the ones who scouted them, the ones who signed them, the ones who stepped up for them. I am very just happy because I think the universe kind of, at least for guys like Scott Coker, you know, just kind of let them know like, hey, you know, it was business. It wasn't because you oversold something. This is the talent you guys had. Look how they showed out. I thought that was great. I thought that it was what it did for the Bellator brand almost posthumously.
Yeah.
Is really amazing. What about you?
It was incredible, dude. They really, it was war, and they came out and they won the freaking war. They said, we're the better promotion. We are the better champions. And that's it. I mean, the biggest names, Ray Cooper, like, demolished.
Yeah. I mean, the guys who had full camps, like Bruno, like, what is it, Impa. I mean, they had the same amount of notice that their opponents did. You know, Ray Cooper, I'll give him a little bit of it. He had a little less time to prepare, right? But still, just fantastic job. Thiago Santos, Yoel Romero. I mean, right there, Yoel gets it done. He technically, I get it. That one felt like UFC versus UFC.
A little bit, yeah.
That one, though, hey, another one counts. For Bellator.
Still counts, yeah. He looked just jacked, man. Like, I feel like more jacked.
I'm not going to lie. I still wanted them just to freaking beat the crap out of each other.
I know.
I don't care. Like, just cautious, give me an epic 5 minutes, and then I can tune out the last 10 if you get tired.
It doesn't even have to go to 5 minutes, yes, man. Like, just go until one of you falls, and that's it. But they're, you know, Yoel's doing his voguing, and it's just like,
they're on a roll.
Taking too long, guys. It's taking too long. You're just standing still mostly. It's like when you leave your Street Fighter character standing still.
Oh yeah, they just start bouncing.
They just start bouncing. That's what they're doing.
So we talked about it. Did PFL screw themselves? I'm not gonna lie. Almost, it felt like there's no way they can do it because now they own Bellator. Low key, they kind of, for the PFL brand specifically, when you talk about those three letters, I couldn't help but think it's like, wait, did they kind of, you know, did they screw the pooch a little bit unexpectedly? Because the fact that the fights were so one-sided, you know, sucked. And now let's acknowledge this. We talk about this. My guys, your guys, PFL owns Bellator. You know, Don Davis, there is no my guys, their guys. They're all his guys. They're all on his roster.
Yeah.
So technically, you still won because you own Bellator. However, as the PFL brand, I couldn't help but see this and go, you know, I really do think they got to, I'm going to use this to segue a little bit. But just like, I look at the talent that they brought in for the regular season. They announced Phil Davis, Liz Carmouche, Andre Koreshkov, Dakota Dichova from PFL Europe, things like that. Okay, decent names, but I couldn't help but feel like you just saw all these guys perform. How can you not use that roster now to bolster the regular season. And I don't know if it's, you know, too much too soon with the now robust roster they have, but I felt like Saturday night was a big night that, like, wait, you know, I think it hurt the regular season slightly. What about you?
Yeah, it definitely probably didn't feel good, right? If you're Don Davis, and yes, technically they're all your guys, but you're actually making a poster that says PFL versus Bellator. So, and PFL is the brand you built. So yeah, it's got to sting a little bit, but he'll find a way to spin it and just say, well, you know, we're glad they're on our side now. What I would like to know is if this is going to be a regular thing, you know, an annual PFL versus Bellator champion series, just because it could be interesting to see how this progresses. But for now, you know, the first time, Bellator, man, they came in and they took all the rings. They took all the rings.
Yeah, I think that it was, how do I put this? I think how they present the regular season, maybe not this year, but for next year. I don't know that we still have all this Bellator Champion Series in 25. I think that by that point, we'll have a better idea, and they're just going to completely now with time to plan, retool the regular season to bring in the AJs, Johnnies, and everybody.
Yeah.
Because I think that you kind of just showed where they're all at tonight. And I get it. They didn't fight all the best people. There's no Olivier Aubin-Mercier, Lewis Pacheco. So there are a few outliers out there. Magomed Karimov, who was the champion. Things like that. So I acknowledge all of these things, you know. By the way, Ray Cooper, you know, didn't have the best 2023. They could have maybe found Sadibou for Jason Jackson. That fight didn't happen. So
yeah.
I acknowledge there's a little bit of talent that still deserves a crack at the Bellator roster. That being said, you know, I think that it kind of hurt the regular season because it's like, wait, so how good actually are these guys that you're building up every year? So I think they have to retool it a bit. That being said, once again, if you're tuning in to watch the Bellator guys, they had the best showcase that they've had in a long time, in my opinion. This arguably better than 300, Bellator 300, Bellator 301. It really worked out great for them. You know what I mean?
It did, yeah.
A quick note. All of this with Patricio Pitbull, Gabriel Braga. So we talked about it. Aaron Pico was supposed to fight Gabriel Braga. Patricio Pitbull's opponent, Jesus Pinedo, on Saturday morning last week, the night of the UFC pay-per-view, it's announced he's injured, he's out of the fight. During the week, I believe it was maybe even Tuesday, we're told that Aaron Pico will now fight Henry Corrales. They're moving up Braga to fight Pitbull on the pay-per-view. We get to Friday morning, and respectfully, we still have zero answers on exactly what happened. All I know is that no one ever posted about Gabriel Braga weighing in, and they wait until the next morning. By the way, I've got to say this. You're telling me not one media member overseas had an answer or tweeted about it? I couldn't find nothing. They announced that Braga is just, quote, unable to compete. The fight with Pitbull is off. That is quite a lot of changes during the week. I just wanted your reaction.
It's wild, strange. I mean, we even had some on the UFC side too, and so it's bizarre. Usually, you know, look, we've had last minute pullouts and even bigger ones than this, Amanda Nunes and Robert Whittaker. But it's still strange, especially with the PFL going out of their way to to find a new opponent for Pitbull, getting Henry Corrales over here to fight Aaron Pico, and then it just falls apart, you know. Very strange. I don't know what could be like I guess I'm asking myself, why be so vague and secretive about it? What is the reason for that? What do you benefit from not telling us what happened?
It wasn't the best look. I think that it was just, I don't know. And then in hindsight, you kind of feel like, why didn't they have Pico fight Pitbull? But then I get it. Pico was now agreed to move up to 55. Pitbull was weighing in 45. I don't know. I've also heard rumblings potentially of Pitbull getting that they may try to rebook him for one of the Belfast cards, or one of the Bellator series sooner rather than later. Maybe Aaron Pico finally gets his Bellator title shot against Pitbull. I don't know. But yeah, in the moment for Saturday, once again, in hindsight, should it have always been Pitbull Pico? Maybe, but this is what we got. Things happen, right?
Yeah.
So it was just all quite odd. Great night. By the way, before we talk UFC, they did have a special PFL Bellator belt.
Right. Yeah.
I love it.
With the ring, right? That
I
like
didn't like the ring in the belt. I thought that was a little like, what are we thinking?
it's a
Like just
little cheesy, like a kid's toy, but
yes. But the belt was great, and I kind of like the whole Super Bowl ring kind of aspect to it. I think that was great for this one-off event, for sure.
definitely.
Because it is all about bragging rights. I like that they have a belt. The belt was better in pictures than on TV. The photos I saw, okay, that looks very old school, very pride.
It did look old school, yeah.
Yeah, not as much gold and diamonds as the new stuff, but I was like, you know what? All right, PFL, Bellator, champs, super fight. Okay, set has all the necessary things for the bragging rights. I would like that in my house, you know?
I would definitely hang that up.
Yeah. Anyway, great night for Bellator and technically PFL in the morning. And then in the evening, UFC Mexico. Overall, the Mexican talent had a great showing leading up to the undercard. Zell Huber, Yasmin Haregi. Obviously, the guys, decent performances. The main event, though, fun scrap, but ultimately it was not meant to be for Mexico. Brandon Royval takes the decision over Brandon Moreno. To me, I mean, it always sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, but one of the things I said last week was that Royval's athleticism, Royval's physical attributes, kind of, when he gets going, kind of overpowers a lot more of the more technical sharpness of Moreno, and that's what we got. I thought that similar to the Pantoja fight for Royval, just scrappy, just kept throwing, kept staying in his face, and really, I think he just was it maximum carnage? No, but he just kept getting enough fist to face to stay ahead of Moreno on the scorecards. What did you think?
Yeah, I was very surprised and impressed because I really like Brandon Moreno. I think he kind of can do it all, but Royval had his number, dude. He just kept pressing forward, jab, 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 jab. And it looked like he, from certain angles, I could see how it could appear that Royval was punching, touching Moreno a lot more than he was. I think Moreno was doing a decent job of keeping his hands up, blocking the punches, but because of the volume, the sheer volume of Royval's hands, I mean, it just looked like an onslaught, especially rounds 4 and 5. Like he was just nonstop touching him, moving forward, even like screaming, like the aggression. It's part of the show, and as far as I think the judges are concerned, so it just looks like he's more confident, more in charge, pushing forward, screaming, landing punches, and he would land like 20, and then Moreno would slip and come with an overhand right that sometimes landed, sometimes didn't. So lots of times Royval was pushing Moreno against the cage. At some point he just picked him up, slammed him down. Like especially at the end, he was in control. And so actually did not expect a split decision, but I am, all right. And just overall very happy for Brandon Royval, man. He finally got the win. And I think it puts him right back in the in line for a title shot again. I don't know. Is that crazy?
You know what? He's on the short list.
Yeah,
That
okay.
being said, I think that the UFC is just going to hold Pantoja till they get Albazi. To my knowledge, Albazi's injury is pretty bad. Who's supposed to fight Moreno, obviously. I hate this for Pantoja because he's already, I mean, he held up the 0-5. I mean, you beat Moreno 3, you beat Royval twice. You're gonna have another rematch. Albazi's not available. The pay-per-view's in May in Rio. You're most likely fighting Manel Kopp. Plain and simple. Again, who you already beat. But I just don't see another way these pieces work. Even okay, you can make the argument, run it back with Figueiredo. Try to get Figgy to drop to 25 again. Figueiredo's fighting at UFC 300 in April at 35. It just, the pieces just don't work for anybody else but another rematch for Pantoja. Royval deserves it. I think that Royval's probably gonna get if they don't do cop and they hold for Amir, then Royval is most likely gonna get cop, in my opinion. And that's just the only way these pieces make sense.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but look, he's only one more fight away from another title shot. Now, I get it. If it's still Pantoja at the top, it's not going to be a very highly anticipated one, but he will be the guy, plain and simple.
All
But yeah,
right.
that was a look. It was a fun scrap. I mean,
It
like I
was
said, not
scrappy.
about the carnage, but they just kind of kept after it. Good output. I don't know if Moreno kind of hurt the rib or something early in the fight from the kick, but yeah, look, I acknowledge Moreno's been in a lot of 5-round battles. If that's starting to catch up to him, and I hope not, then that was just a great opportunity for Royval to get him. Heartbreaking, obviously, he's been, Mr. Mexico for the UFC for the last 2 years. So the fact that he headlined at home but couldn't get it done did make me a little sad for him.
Yeah, I felt bad too, man.
Yeah, but that's how it goes. Full credit to Brandon Royval. Stepped up to fill in, got the job done in enemy territory. Huge. He would have been the big winner if we didn't have this whole thing with Brian Ortega in the co-main event. A little bit of everything. He's getting warmed up. He hurts the ankle. He
Oh
rolls
my
it.
God, dude.
Yair touching him up in round two, or sorry, round one.
Yeah.
Late in the round, obviously Brian gets him down, and then round two, a little more Brian Ortega, really exposes Yair Rodriguez off of his back. And then in round three, just beautiful work to get that submission. I always, you know how I feel. Very big fan of the unorthodox submissions. He has the awkward angle on it, and just holds on for the finish. Taps out Yair Rodriguez. Probably shortlist submission of the year, but there's obviously a lot of time left in 24. What are your thoughts on that performance?
Man, initially, like sort of not thinking about the ankle, I thought, oh, it's just, same old Brian Ortega, just getting punched, beat up, knocked down until, he can get a hold of you and submit you. But I hear him, talking about it after the fight, and it makes sense. He was distracted by the roll, the ankle roll. And so yeah, he lost focus, and yeah, you're capitalized, but of course, we know Brian Ortega is one of the toughest fighters in the UFC, specifically in the featherweight division. So, I mean, he got knocked down. His head was wobbled. He was hurt, but he was able to regroup and then finally execute the Brian Ortega game plan that we always want him to see, which is get it to the ground. And he did it. Round two, round three was easy. He was done. Bada bing, bada boom. It was like easy work and so slick, man. The way he came around, moved his whole body to the other side, applied the pressure. Mark Goddard got a little mad at him because he didn't release right away, but I don't think he realized. I think he was just in the zone. So I was very happy to see Brian Ortega get that win. He probably suffered more damage in the face than he should have, but of course, crazy things happen. I gotta tell you, somehow I knew, he always used to take his brother with him and showcase his brother. I did not know he had two kids, much less of that, like they're old. Like I didn't know he had such old kids. That was a big surprise to me.
He keeps that stuff very private, but like for example, when he fought Max, obviously Max has his son and Mini Blessed and all that, and it's a big part of it. I don't want to say branding, but he's a family guy. He brings his son around a lot. Brian has always been the opposite, and they're like, "Well, aren't you a dad too?" And he's like, "Yeah." And it's like no one knows that, but yeah, like I keep it under wraps. And look, full credit to him. That way, like, the second it's out there, people can have an opinion on it. Look at
Yeah,
Ian
of
Gary.
course.
I think that's fine that Brian keeps it more private. I think people were very surprised. Look, let's address the Tracy Cortez in the room. Tracy Cortez is there watching. And, you know, people, look, they had very public relationship, very public breakup. Let's say like it is. That's how it is, right? Mm-hmm. And then Brian's out there, yeah, I'm married. And then it's like, wait, that fast? I mean, weren't you just, okay. You know, once again, how other people work is different how the rest of us work, you know? Like, whatever he has, he looked great out there. Whatever changes he's made in his life, they're clearly working for him.
Yeah, he found God, and I missed that. He's married now? Like,
yep, yeah. And I heard that everyone saw it, you know, you can't lose in front of your ex like that, you know, yeah. All this. Man, enough of it. But I did love his post-fight speech when he's talking about rolling his ankle.
Yeah,
and he's like, you know, I was like, you know, God's got me. And then he rolls his ankle, and then he's like, oh my God, did God leave me? And then he starts saying like, no, God, I know you're with me. I know we're going to win it. Yeah. I thought that was very genuine. We don't get that kind of stuff from Brian Ortega a lot. So I was like, okay, you know, I can imagine I would have felt the same way. Like, it's all right. You know, you do all this read devotion to God and you roll your ankle 2 seconds before you fight. And it's like, wait, where'd you go? I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was very, it was very endearing, which I think that Brian needed following the layoff and just everything else. I get it. Everyone's talking about it. How does Brian not fight? And he's still so highly ranked. He needed a victory like that and he got it. So that was big for his career. Another heartbreaker. I think they said this is 0-2 now for Yair in Mexico.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah, that's right. When he lost the interim title, right? That was Mexico, wasn't it?
No, that was in Vegas.
Oh, that was Noche UFC, yeah.
Yeah. I think he, was it the Jeremy Stevens one with the eye poke? I think that's what happened. But it's like Derek Lewis in Texas. It's just heartbreaking for them, right? You want them to get it in front of the people so bad. And it's like, what happened? Brian Ortega, by process of elimination, is now on the short list for the belt. That being said, you got to address the Max Holloway of it all. If Max beats a Justin Gaethje, it's very possible that Dana just says, hey, you know, Max, you're fighting Ilya. Charles and Armin, the winner of that one, gets 55 Islam. And boom, the pieces are set. If Max were to lose, I could see Brian Ortega getting the fight. Just because there's not a lot of other guys. I think that Giga needs a big one to get in that convo. I think Volk needs a little bit of a break. So I just want all of those things, you know. What about you? What do you think of how it plays out? Do you feel the same or do you feel like Brian may have just locked it in regardless of Max?
I think Volk does need a break. So we'll keep him out of the conversation. Give the man a nice long-ish break. This was tricky because I just, you know, based on how Max looked against Dustin Poirier, and that was however many years ago, so Max is older now.
Yep.
I just don't see how he could beat Justin Gaethje because he doesn't have knockout power and he has great cardio, punches and bunches, but Gaethje can go all day as well and has a hard head and is almost impossible to knock out. So all that is to say, I don't see how Max wins against Justin Gaethje. As much as I, you know, don't want to see him lose, I just don't see a win there. So I think Brian Ortega, because of how I expect the BMF match to go, I think Brian Ortega does get the title shot against Topuria. And if they do go to Spain, that's cool. You know, Ortega's Spanish is actually very good. He did his own translation in the cage.
Yeah, I loved it.
And you know, he speaks like Mexican American Spanish, but his accent is good. Like mine doesn't sound as clean as his, and so
he speaks LA Spanish.
Yeah, LA Spanish, and you know, but he knows like you know what words to say. Like he said a couple of bad words, and the crowd's like, yeah, right. And so, how does that translate in Spain? I don't know. Spanish is different, but all I'm saying is like, if you put him in Spain against Topuria, you're opening up opportunities for interviews, for marketing, for all of that stuff.
Yes.
It's a really, a stronger marketing move when you take Topuria to Spain to have Brian Ortega. And just because I don't think Max can win against Gaethje, I think that's what we're going to see, Ortega, Topuria in Spain.
I'm going to respectfully say, you know what, I've learned by now, you can't count those chickens before they hatch. That you know what, Juliana Peña beat Amanda Nunes. Anything could happen in
anything
this thing,
can
man.
Happen. You're right. You're
so
right.
I'm not gonna, like I said, I'm gonna give the full credit. I'm not gonna write anything until Max and Gaethje actually fight. I'm aware that Gaethje's favorite to win, of course I am, but yeah. I think wait and see. I think, look, Max is just such a big star anywhere that if he wins, you can't not give him that fight with Ilia. Spain, Vegas, I don't care. That's the one. I don't care what Ilia has said. I think Ilia also knows that, like, that's most likely going to happen. You know, Brian or Max. I acknowledge this, the Spain of it all, he is having quite the tour over there. I mean, he's doing press conferences. He's like doing the thing with Real Madrid and all this. And I'm like, this kid is having a moment back home. UFC must love it. I'm sure UFC has someone with him. I'm sure that Dana White, I promise you, someone from Spain Tourism has called UFC about setting up a Ilia Topuria fight, you know, over there in Barcelona or something. It just, it's too easy. And
yeah,
we know that UFC, they've talked about this post-pandemic, the UFC brand is so big that they get invited to places. They, you know, Australia pays for annual events. Abu Dhabi pays for annual events. And not that, they, you know, Anaheim has a deal now.
Yeah.
They, for sure, if you're telling me that you can't get 2 to 3 events out of Ilia, you know, in this moment, I mean, you can. You absolutely can. Even if it's just an arena over there in Spain, not the stadium for soccer, I think it's a possibility. So the fact is, it's about where does this fight happen and when. Could they get a deal done? If enough pieces move quickly, yeah. Things can happen very quickly if they want it bad enough. They could say, hey, Dana, you know, we'll give you this, this, and this. And, you know, kind of like Riyadh and Francis Ngannou, like how many rooms, how many, boom, just done.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Take it. Take it, bring it here, hold it here, let's go. They could do that. If it happens in Vegas, it happens in Vegas, and they do Spain another time. But for sure, there's a lot of, I think that the door is open for Spain. Just the reception we're seeing suggests that they really want it. And I think that's a big thing for UFC. If you're a business person, that's big for Ilia. Now it's just the timing. But yeah, for the record, Brian Ortega, at most one win away from a title shot.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even Giga Brian could be a fight. So I don't know. Just one of those fights for sure. I think we'll get it done. Maybe Josh Emmett, who stopped Bryce Mitchell. I mean, just one of those two fights, either Giga or Emmett, and I think that Brian Ortega has it if he doesn't get it straight up. So,
yeah.
There I stand.
Okay.
I mean, look, obviously big night. Before we talk about this Saturday, let's talk about the other Saturday in Mexico. How about all these fights playing out in the crowd?
I mean, you know, I heard about it, but I haven't seen the videos yet. I've just heard Dana talk about it. Oh, how crazy was it? I saw the picture of like a...
You had guys getting dropped. You had one guy dropping like multiple dudes, like just one shot, like either contender series or power slap. But some of these guys, freaking, you know, they were trying to audition for Dana White, is my thinking, you know?
Speaking of power slap, the other day I got in a little bit of a YouTube rabbit hole. You know, they have those videos, those like shorts now.
Of course.
Yeah.
I make a ton of them.
Yeah. Okay. You know, like, okay. So I'm like watching these power slap things and, you know, it always just seems silly to me and my opinion hasn't changed, but I was very surprised at how seriously the participants take it. Like when they do their interviews, their post slap interviews, they're talking like it's almost like a caricature or like a spoof of a fight. You know, they're like, well, you know, I've really been training hard for this one. And, you know, I'm like, what are you training? I mean, anyway, I just felt like I had to let it out because I was really surprised at how it is really, to me, it was like a caricature of like an MMA event where you have the step and repeat. You got the nice lady doing the interview, the person with the belt, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, just really I was surprised I got knocked down, and but I came back, and I've been training, and my coaches, and y'all are just slapping each other in the face as hard as you can. So you don't have to opine, Double G, you know, if you want to.
So my comparison, have you ever seen, like, not all Olympic sports have, like, for example, Olympic basketball, you go to the NBA. Not every sport that gets celebrated or is a big deal has the equivalent in a professional league, like luge. There's right. No, people don't go out there to watch professional luge. Yeah. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
At the Olympics, it's great. It's a thing. In every other year of the calendar, kind of not, right? That's how the power slap feels. In this moment, it's a big thing and it's huge. The second the power slap event is over, this isn't a thing that people are watching every single week, like basketball and baseball. And I think that that's what you're seeing with that. It's like they take it all so seriously, and then it's like, you know. Like, I'm aware it's a league. I'm aware people are getting paid. It's still in its infancy. I know a lot of those guys and girls have jobs and are doing their thing, and they kind of got to stay active to pay the bills. It's not.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're not buying a car and a house and property just with power slap money. It's just not there yet.
Yeah. You know what? I can't get into it yet. I can watch and enjoy all manner of violence. I haven't gotten around to that one yet, but you know,
I've talked with them. I respect all of them. I appreciate, you know, like, dude, you're making money, right? Like, people, have you ever seen World's Dumbest Videos?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people freaking do sillier stuff for free.
Right.
These people are getting medical insurance and getting to be on TV and getting paid.
Go for it.
I mean, why not? Right? No one's forcing them to do it. Wait, you mean I can make TV? I can make money and I'll be on TV and I get free UFC tickets? Cover your ears just in case.
Slap it up, baby. Let's go.
Anyway, all right. Let's talk about this Saturday's UFC main event. Shamil Gaziev taking on veteran Jarzynho Rozenstruik. So look, straight up, I think this is another one. It's about a full, well-rounded game taking on a specialist in Jarzynho. I know Jarzynho works his takedown defense, et cetera, et cetera. It's just one of those things. He's a lifelong striker. And if you're a more well-rounded guy, as I know Gaziev to be, I'm not saying he's Habib, but if you could put it all together and avoid the power, you know the route to defeat a guy like Jarzynho. For Jarzynho, it's once again, can you execute a perfect game plan of keep him on the outside, light him up so he doesn't close the distance to get his hands on you? If you could do that, you put yourself in a great spot to win if you're Jarzynho. The guys who have beaten him are the ones that have been able to push through and get him down and really light him up in that way.
Yeah.
I favor Jarzynho's experience. I'll admit, stylistically, it feels like there's a lot of possibilities for Gaziev to get this, but sitting here right now on Monday, I would go with Jarzynho. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, same. I don't have much more to add. I think, you know, looking at Shamil's record looks pretty good, but he just got into the UFC December. I mean, he was Contender Series. Okay, so he's gotten some fast finishes, round one, round two, from Contender Series then to UFC. But I think Rozenstruik still got it. He can be able to find that moment and land a punch. The punch or a series of punches. So I think Rozenstruik can still get it done. Let's say, just feeling punchy. Round one, TKO, Rozenstruik. Oof.
You know, I'm with you there too. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm here for it. And can you believe it? Next week, we are at freaking Combat Extravaganza on Friday night. Francis Ngannou taking on Anthony Joshua. On Saturday night, we are finally at UFC 299 with O'Malley and Chito and MVP and Kevin Holland and Macy Barber and Caitlin Chookagian and Curtis Blaydes and Jailton Almeida and Dustin Poirier, Benoit Saint-Denis. It's like there's so many. I'm trying to not look at the card and just think of them. There's so many freaking fights. Peter Yan, Song Yadong. I mean,
that's crazy. This, it sounds like you're telling me the roster for UFC 300.
It's like an all-star game, right?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, this is, you know what? Sign me up. Let's go. That's all I have to say.
Yep.
What are you, you know what? I'll put you on the spot. Give me one fight that you really want to see. What is the, you know what? Like, if I have to, after the fact, watch something that's not the title fight, what's it going to be first?
Oh, man. That's not a title fight. Probably, I want to see how Poirier looks. Jeepers.
Just for the entertainment, MVP.
Yeah,
like
that's
I feel
right,
like there's few scenarios where MVP Kevin Holland is boring.
Yeah, dude, you're right. MVP, because that's a big one, you know. Like we just saw Bellator up against PFL, did very well. And their record in at the UFC, you know, Michael Chandler obviously looking good, but not for nothing. Like he goes to war. He's not like having clean, easy victories. So MVP older, you know, let's see, against Kevin Holland, they're like similar physique. There's another one. Oh, Piotr Jan. I'm curious to see how Piotr Jan looks, because not that long ago, I thought he was unstoppable. I thought he was the Iceman, the Terminator, like, and then, you know, he got beat. And so I'm curious to see how he's looking.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so good. I'm ready for it. Well, guys, that's it. We have a big show. By the way, Francis Ngannou, if he pulls this off on Friday night, forget about it. Most epic weekend in combat.
Yeah, dude, really. Are they going to be in Saudi Arabia?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why Francis was able to be there.
That's right, because he's already
there. I think the venue is probably like 10 minutes away from where they were at.
Yeah, he's like training there, right?
Yeah,
he's at the Wizard of Mike Tyson Fight Club.
Oh, my God.
However. Mike Tyson, man, he is securing. Talk about securing the bag, Double G. He's securing all the bags in Saudi Arabia, man.
I'll tell you, he didn't fumble no bag. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, he's everywhere, dude.
I mean, good for him.
Good for him.
I'm excited. Look, I mean, next Saturday can't get here soon enough. We'll have a show next week, though. Preview the action, recap the news, and everything in between. Until then, guys, remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week. Take care.